let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at the victory we have in Christ, as we look at even, Lord, how does the flesh work against the spirit and vice versa, and how as Christians we have victory over the flesh. We have victory over the law of sin in our lives. We have victory, Lord, because of what Jesus has done for us. And so today I pray for us as those who are members of our church, those who have trusted Christ, and we know membership doesn't guarantee salvation, it's our relationship with you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will make this so real to those who have professed and believed Christ and possessed Christ. And Lord, those who are still struggling, Lord, to overcome the flesh, I pray you give them the encouragement today. And yet for many of us who may have heard of the Lord Jesus and may even profess Christ, but Lord, we have no victory. And Father, if there's some who have never trusted Christ, who have still depending on their works, still depending, Father, on their own ways of earning salvation, I pray you help them to see that true freedom only comes from faith in Jesus Christ, repentance from sin. So Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a special way. We pray for those who are visiting for the first time. Bless them and help them, Lord, to see the love of Christ in the passage we have today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Last week we ended in Romans chapter 7. If you just look up, Paul actually says, 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul was very clear that the victory can only come through Jesus Christ. Okay, he's talking about Christians. And so today we're going to look at what it means to have victory in Christ. All right, the current position in Christ, we're going to talk about the current position in Christ. We're going to look at the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit of God. And then we're going to look at the glorious position about the believer's position in Christ, the truth and the hope that we can have as a Christian. Okay, I want to start off by saying that as believers in Christ, we already have victory in this life and in the next. All right, we already have victory. And Paul goes on to explain why, and we need this for us. In verse 1, I'll just be going through the verse by verse as we look at that, and then I'll highlight four Bible truths for us, for our Christian life, all right? Verse 1 in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, the phrase walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, in the book of Galatians, is also repeated, but in a different approach. In Galatians, it has to do with living the Christian life as a Christian. You need to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But Paul says in Galatians 8, Romans chapter 8, it has to do with salvation. Because this is an important distinction as we look at this passage, because otherwise we get confused. All right? We get confused about whether a person has the Spirit of God and all that kind of thing. We need to be clear. Romans 8 still talks about salvation, because you find that Paul goes back again to repeat what he actually has said, but in a little bit more detail, which we will talk about. All right? So the Bible says, firstly, there is therefore now no condemnation. We are under no condemnation when we are in Christ Jesus. This is possible when we do not walk after the flesh. Now, when Paul talks about who walk after the flesh, remember in the passage in Romans chapter 7, the flesh has to do with walking in the laws of Moses in order to have eternal salvation. And we talk also about different belief systems in this world. For example, in some belief system, they believe that they are born pure, but as they go through life, they get corrupted, they have lack of knowledge, then they do wrong, and it is their job to do right or do good works in order to gain salvation. That is one form of belief. Then other belief system believe that, for example, today, if you would die for your faith, you are guaranteed entry into heaven. You got to do something for your faith. The Jews in Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, as Paul was illustrating, was walking after the flesh. They believe that if they do things, they can earn their salvation. That is the context of what Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is saying. If you have trusted the flesh, then you are condemned. If you think you can earn your salvation, then you are condemned. If you think that by coming to church faithfully, you are condemned, or rather, you are saved, you are condemned. If you think that just by coming to church and giving offerings in the money, you have eternal salvation, you are condemned because you are depending on these things. Does that make sense? You are walking after the flesh. You think that by doing these things, you can have eternal life. Paul says no. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? But if we follow the spiritual principles of Christ, whereby we realize we are sinners. See, it all happens in the heart. When you hear the Word of God today, we have to realize if we have never trusted Christ, we are condemned because of our sin. Sin condemns us. After we talk about it a bit more. Sin condemns us. Whether it's lying, whether it's hypocrisy, whether it's pride, whether it's selfishness, sometimes even stealing. You know, some people may steal. You may not steal money, but you may steal people's time. You may steal other things. And so, if we realize we are sinners, and we realize when Jesus died on the cross is to save us, and we follow by faith the spiritual principles of Christ, by faith, allowing His grace to save us, who walk after the Spirit, then we're not condemned. That's why a person can kill. I'm not suggesting you do that, that a person can be in prison because he has murdered someone and he's on death row. In other words, he's going to be hanged. And then someone comes in and shares with him how much Jesus loves him. And he says, look, I've killed someone. I can't be saved. Do you realize that Jesus can forgive any sin? Any sin. Remember, Jesus forgave even the Roman soldiers who murdered him on the cross. Okay? And so when this prisoner who have murdered people and say, if Jesus can save me, I want him. And he put his faith in Christ. You realize at that time he becomes a child of God. You see, there's nothing good that he has done. All he's done was put faith in Jesus Christ. But Brother Johnny, he still is hanged. Yes, in this world, you still have to pay for your sin. But you know what? He can walk to the gallows with peace in his heart because he has made his peace with God. Does that make sense? In this world, it doesn't make sense. If you go to religious people, they will tell you, you know, it's not possible. You mean so cheap. Yeah, to us, it is free, our salvation, but it costs God everything. Jesus had to give his life for us. That's why as Christians, we live not by just doing, coming to church, giving money. And we think that these are the good and kind things. But we have no relationship with God. We're not walking after the Spirit, okay? So that's verse 1. So for those who have placed their faith in Christ, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. Why? In verse 2. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. There are three laws every Christian must know. Number one, the law of God. The law of God. The law of God tells us what is right and what is wrong. Example, thou shalt not steal. That's the law of God. Okay? Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. That is the law of God. Okay? The law of God tells us what is right and wrong. Later on, I'll explain a little bit more. Then there's the law of sin. The law of sin tells us that we cannot but sin. That's why for young children, they can even king, you know, king, what king, how do, they can even, how you, what's an English word for that? They can pretend. Oh, mommy, I love you so much. But then later on, you do something that will disobey the mom, okay? Or mommy, I did my homework already, but actually, they are reading a book under their, or they pretend, they can pretend to say this thing, but do something else. Why? Parents don't teach them that. It's the law of sin, all right? It's the law of sin. So there's the law of God telling what is right. The law of God only wants us to do right. The law of sin in our lives only wants us to do wrong. And so as a Christian, when we've trusted Christ, we find, why is it that I always still want to do wrong? But you know, Christ says that because there's a third law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made us free from this law. Okay? Before you are a Christian, before I'm a Christian, I'm under the control of the law of sin. That's why some of you cannot control yourselves saying bad words. You cannot control yourself. That's why some of you cannot control yourself thinking bad thoughts. That's why some of you cannot control yourself in listening to the worldly music, because you're under the control of sin. Okay? That's why some of you cannot control yourself but be critical of other people. Why? Because of the control of the law of sin. That's why. It's the law of sin, which I shared with you last week. Why are Christians, even today, Christians, struggling? Because we live in the flesh, which is the control. We want to be controlled by the law of sin. Not that we want to, but we are under the law of sin. We're still under the flesh, okay? And so for Christians we know we are Christians, and why am I still like that? The Lord Jesus gave us a third law we need to know. It's a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, what is that? Listen to this. Within the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we place our faith on Christ and repent of sins from our hearts, the Holy Spirit of God comes in to do His special work of crucifying our sins, forgiving us, cleansing us, giving us eternal life, and then He gives us the Holy Spirit and thereby freeing us from the influence and the control of sin. I'll give you an illustration of the law of sin, and that this is Benjamin, okay? He is a non-believer, right? Let's see. Okay, Brother Gideon, maybe you just come. Actually, he's quite strong, so... Okay, he's a law of sin. So what you need to do is to just grab him. Okay? Okay? Alright? So this person, you just bring him anywhere you want him to go. But wait. But you try to stop him, okay? Okay, just anywhere you want him to go. I try to stop him. Okay, they can bring him back here, still holding him. So the law of sin controls him. Okay, I'm the law of God. Okay, I'm the law of God. I say, I want you to sit down at the chair. But your law of sin has to stop him. Sit down on this chair. It's a bit funny, right? The law of sin controls him. No, sit down on this chair. You must sit down on this chair. That's the right thing to do. Do it. You can't. Okay? So the law of God tells him what is right. He can't. You know, that's the reality of non-believers today. They cannot but do wrong. All right? Okay? And we need a strong muscle man. Now, I'm not strong. Brother Joshua Kok. Brother Joshua Kok is a law of the spirit of life in Christ. Okay, just as an illustration. Okay? You know what the law of the spirit of life in Christ, okay? The first thing that he must do, okay? Right? He's a giant, but he's a gentle giant, okay? So I'm his friend, okay? So, in order for the law of the spirit of life to help him, he has to agree to be helped. Okay? He has to agree to be helped. Make sense? All right? So, you must ask him, do you want me to help you get out?
Do you want me to help you come out?
From the law of sin.
From the law of sin.
Okay, he said yes. All right, so once he said yes, okay, so it's let go already, right? Now he's under the law of spirit. Like, wait, don't put him there first. You just throw him first, okay? Not yet. I didn't say anything. So wait first, okay? The law of sin is still nearby. Okay? In fact, the law of sin is still in him. Okay? The Bible teach us, if you agree and submit, now right now there's the law of sin, but he is no longer under his control. Does that make sense? The law of spirit of life in Christ have made him free from this guy so that he can follow the law of God. Okay? But he has to make the decision, am I going to follow the law of God or the law of sin? And he has to agree with him when he says, go that way. So I'm going to say, go and sit down there. Okay? What the law of sin is going to do, say no. He cannot call him because he has made him free from him. Okay? But he has to decide, do you want to follow him or follow him? Okay, so go and sit there. Go and sit there. All right, go and sit on Sean. No, the law of God will never tell you to do wrong. But okay, let's say, okay, pick up the paper. So before you pick up, you have to decide. The law of sin will tell you, why listen to the law of God? Okay? Okay, so.
You must pick up the paper.
Okay, so, wait, have you agreed? Who you want to follow? Him, okay, so, you pick up the paper. Okay? Okay, put it down, okay? Now, I'm going to use a very real example right now. Some of you are struggling with this. Listening to Korean pop or J-pop or whatever, rock music that will affect your spiritual life. Okay? Right? The law of God says, don't listen to that. The law of sin? Why don't you? It's interesting because the law of sin will come to you. Why don't you just go ahead and just do it, you know? But the law, the spirit of life, if you have Christ in your heart, is going to tell you?
No, don't listen to God.
Okay, so at the end of the day, who makes the decision? You. Okay, so what would you do? Listen to him. Okay, so remember, once you trust Christ, the law of sin no longer have control over you. Okay? But I'm going to give two more illustrations, okay? I'm not law of God, but a temptation comes. Punch your friend. Because? Okay. Usually the Spirit of God will give you love your enemies. Okay. He will give you the word of God. Okay. So who will you decide now? Still follow him, right? So you go closer. Okay? Okay. Let's pretend so he says, I need to be faithful to my friend. Thou shalt not lie. So I won't lock your temptation to lie about a situation. So what will you do? Go ahead and lie, right? The law of sin will say, go ahead and lie. But law of God will say, well, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Okay, so who would you follow? Okay, so the more you obey the word of God, the more you're under his control, after a while, it makes it very easy for him to keep doing the right thing. Does it make sense? All right, thank you, all three laws. Okay, initially when Benjamin was trapped, the Bible says the law of God, or rather in verse number 2, the law of the spirit of life in Christ had made me free from the law of sin of death. Brother Joshua, representing the law of spirit of life, had made him free from the law of sin. He is now free. Law of sin cannot control him anymore. He wants to control him. He wants to control him through the bad habits, through his sinful attitudes, through the selfishness. And you know what? He will fall sometimes because, I mean, this is a very ideal situation. But the reality is, we still have the law of the spirit of the law of sin in our lives because we are still in this flesh. We are still in this flesh. We still have emotions that are evil. We still have thoughts about people that are still lingering. We still have anger against people in the past that we have never forgiven. Okay? And so when sometimes things happen to us, the law of sin is going to say, keep remembering that. You know, he don't deserve your pity. But the love of God comes and says, the Spirit of God says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgiven you. And so the Christian struggles. And then the Christian has to say, I need to submit to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And say, yes, Lord, I will obey you. The law of the sin no longer have influence. And the Christian grows and gets stronger. So the next time the law of sin comes, don't forgive. Because he has already forgiven the first time. He grows. But I tell you something, the law of sin is not going to run away from him. You will have the law of sin in your life till the day you die. That's why we need, on a daily basis, to submit to the Spirit of God. All right? I already jumped. I gave you a whole message, but I'm going to explain it a little bit more through the verses. Okay? In verse 3 and 4, this is what was illustrated here. For what the law could not do, the law of God, I couldn't free Benjamin. I cannot free Benjamin from the law of sin, okay? What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, the law of God is given to us to show right and wrong. The law of God reveals our sinful and rebellious spirit. When I tell Benjamin, go and sit there, it actually stirs up the rebellious spirit. For example, I'll just be very open. Sometimes it might be being shy. But when a person is obedient, shy or not, he's going to obey the authority. He will come up. Okay? And so it stirs up that rebellious, I don't want. And we give a lot of reasons why I don't want. But it's actually just a sinful attitude. I'm not going to listen to authority. Okay? Just for information, for my family, that's a spanking offense. Okay? But anyway, let's come back to that. It reveals our sinful and rebellious spirit. It condemns us. You see, the more I tell him to go there, the more the spirit of is going to be tighter because he's going to struggle. And the sin, he won't be able to do that because he's under that control. Which is why many Christians lose. Okay? We're still under that influence and it does not save us. It was weak through the flesh. The flesh can do nothing to accomplish the righteousness required in the law of God in our life. So what did God do? Benjamin was controlled. That's his situation before he was a Christian. He was controlled. And maybe sometimes he just wanted to obey his parents, but he shouted at his parents. He can't control that. He's under the control of sin. You know what God did? You know what God did? The Bible says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, okay, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. This is what happened. Let's pretend. He's still the law of sin, okay? God knew that Benjamin is not going to be able to overcome this guy. You know what God did? He sent his own son, okay? So the law of sin doesn't control the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? Okay, but what he did was through his death, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he condemned sin. Okay? By freeing himself and he destroyed sin through his own death. How did he do that? Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. So every time the law of sin tells him to do something wrong, he says no. Every time the law of sin tells him so, he says no. Every time God says something, he always says yes. And so the Lord Jesus Christ condemned sin. That means sin has no control over him. Not only that, he paid for sin. He paid for sin. So when anyone who comes to him gets the Spirit of life, does that make sense? The Spirit of life is the Holy Spirit that God gives to us at salvation. There is no second seeking. There is no second baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is no, I need to keep seeking for the Holy Spirit? No, it's already in us at salvation. So the Lord Jesus in verse 3, what the law could not do, in that was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. God sent his son, he became like us. He lived like us. He went through the struggles of sin like us. Yet he overcame the body of sin. He overcame his flesh and he was perfect. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Okay, let's read together. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus. Ready? 1, 2, go. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. The Lord Jesus Christ not only fulfilled the law of God, everything that God says to do, he did. He didn't sin. He made him perfect and therefore able to be the only one in this whole wide universe to die on the behalf of sinful men. The innocent dying for the guilty. God sent his son for sin, for the purpose of dealing with sin. Okay, going back to Romans chapter 8 verse 3, he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to show he can overcome it. And for sin, to condemn sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, he destroyed the power of sin once and for all at the cross. And when we would trust Christ and repent from our sin, the Lord's Spirit, which overcame sin, lives in us, thereby giving us a new nature that we can say yes to the law of God. We can be set free to obey righteousness. We can not only do what is right, but also in our hearts do what is right. Example, when someone offends me and they say, hey, forgive him lah. I have had people do things wrong to me and say, forgive me, ah, paise ho. When they say that, it was just patronizing. But in their hearts, they will go off and tell bad things about me again, or about you again. You know, I may have done the right thing, but I have not done the righteousness in the thing. If I forgive you, or rather if I say that I'm sorry, I'm not only am sorry through my words, I'm sorry in my heart. The sorry in the heart is the righteousness that God is saying. Does that make sense? There are many so-called Christians or people, or Christians, I refer to Christians, who, when people offend them, will say, okay, Lord, nothing I can do, Lord, but I don't ever want to see that person again. That is not fulfilling the righteousness in the law. That is not fulfilling the righteousness. Do you know humanly we cannot do that? Humanly, we can't do that. We require the Spirit of God in our hearts as we say, God, it's so painful. But because you forgave, Lord, I can forgive too. And the forgiveness comes from the heart. And so we fulfill not only God says forgive, but also you also fulfill that part in your heart that says, ah, I've forgiven totally from my heart. Does that make sense? You know why Christians sometimes live with hatred in their lives? Oh yeah, they don't do anything wrong, but they don't do right either. Why? Because they have not fulfilled the righteousness in their hearts. Only God can do that for us. That's why we need to depend on Him. That's why, Christian, it is not about you just doing the outward. It has to come from your heart. And when you submit to the law of the Spirit of God, that's when it happens. That's when you are truly free. That's when you are truly free from the offenses, from the pain perhaps. And it's not, you're not trying to pretend that you're okay. But you're okay from the heart, okay? That was what God came to do. Look at verse 4. So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? Any questions? Let me give you one more illustration of this. Remember Jesus says, you have heard in the law, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? To the Jewish rabbis during those days, the committing adultery just has to do with physically doing it. You know what Jesus said? But I say unto you, that anyone who looks at a woman and lusts after her have committed adultery in her heart. That is the righteousness of God. Many people, oh, I'm okay, well, you know, I never commit adultery. Meaning, they are saying that I never really physically sinned. But you know what Jesus says? I'm not expecting that only. I'm expecting the righteousness in the heart. Not only do you not want to do it physically, in your heart, you have already said, no, God, I'm not going to go that way. It is wrong in your sight. And even sometimes as men, we get tempted, and the first thing we do is, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have even thought that. You're fulfilling that righteousness in the heart. Does that make sense? And that is something which, as Christians, we are not bound by laws that say you do this to be saved. Jesus wants to set us free from the heart. And that is what He do, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Any questions? Now, I hope it makes it clear. So in Jesus' life, in His death, He showed the power of God to deal the death blow to sin. When Jesus died, He said, it is finished. That means the payment of sin is completed. In His resurrection, He showed God's power and authority to justify everyone who come to Him by faith. This is what it meant in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. The Bible says, but now the righteousness of God outside of the law, without the law, is manifested, been witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, what does this mean? Once again, let me explain. He says, there is a way of salvation in this world. You do this, 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 and if you're tick, 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 oh, you did all this, you go to heaven. That's what the world thinks. God says, if you got 10 and you break one, do you qualify? Okay, wa, 9 out of 10, okay, right? That's what the world thinks. Okay? So I oftentimes use this illustration when we go soul winning, when I explain the gospel. I'm a pastor. Okay? But if the police catch me speeding, am I a criminal in Singapore law? Hey, you're not really. I'm a pastor leh. You cannot say, just speeding what? But you know what? Under the Singapore law, if I don't pay the fine, I can go to jail because I've broken the law of the land. Can you see that no one is perfect? And that's why God says, Ken, you want to follow this law to save yourself? Then you got to follow every single one without fail. Every second, every minute, every hour, every week, every month, 365 days a year. You cannot break any law. You know why? Because God sees it when you do wrong. And He will once you break one, you break the whole law. Did you know the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin? Even if you think to do wrong, it's sin. No one can escape that. That was why in Romans 3:21, God says, you guys can't do it. Tell you what, I come up with another system, which is salvation in Jesus Christ. He not only makes us free. Do you realize in salvation we do nothing but trust Christ? That He has to do it for us? Because He knows we can't do it ourselves. Okay, so this is an important truth. That's why salvation is free for us. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are made free so that we can fulfill the righteousness of God. When we trust Christ as Savior, I said before, all our sins are crucified to the cross. We are forgiven. We are washed clean. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We are given eternal life. That is the starting point. That is the starting point of a Christian. Because God knows we cannot save ourselves, okay? So moving forward, so our position in Christ, we are not condemned, we are free in Christ. Now we can accomplish the righteousness that God intended for us. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. After all that I've explained, I hope you understand what Jesus meant in Matthew chapter 5 verse 20. Ready? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Does that make sense for us now? Why Jesus says, the Pharisees are the most religious people. They keep the law to the T. In other words, they will do everything that is right. And everyone knows that, wow, they are the A-star, they are the geniuses, they are the PhDs of the law, and they are such a wonderful example of fulfilling the law. But you know what? Jesus knows their hearts. That's why Jesus says, if you ever want to enter the kingdom of heaven, your righteousness must be higher than the righteousness of the Pharisees. You know why? Because they follow the outward forms of religion, but their heart are full of dead men's bones. Jesus could see that. So if you ever think, oh, I just come to church and just do what they tell me to do, I'm fine. No, you're not. Your life must be right before a living God that Jesus needs to see. Or rather, you have put faith and you come to Christ repenting of you. Say, God, I can't do it. I need your help. You know, as pastor, I can't help you with that. Only the Holy Spirit can. Only God can. Only Jesus can. That you need to say, if what Pastor Johnny says is true, then I need to go to the Lord. I need to go to the Lord Jesus to help me. Okay? So that is our position in Christ. The Pharisees depended on the laws of Moses for salvation. So the righteousness of the other must exceed the righteousness of the scribes. Our righteousness must far exceed the fleshly dependence on the rules for salvation rather than the salvation in Christ. Okay? So firstly, this is our current position. We are no longer condemned as Christians. We are free. We are free in Christ. And we can now do the right thing to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our hearts. In other words, we can change. Number two, the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit of God. Okay? This is Romans chapter 5 to 8. Here, Paul just highlights four things. Okay, the first part was the most important, but I hope you'll follow along. Paul now tells us the flesh versus the Spirit of God to show why the flesh cannot secure the salvation in Christ. Look at verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Okay? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. First thing about the flesh leads to spiritual death and is in a state of spiritual death. To be carnally minded, fleshly minded is death. If you think that just by doing the things you get to heaven, Paul says, look, you're dead. You're spiritually dead. If all, any of us here think, right, Johnny, I belong to a church. I do the whatever, sacraments. I follow what the priests say. And there is no change in your heart. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. There is no life in you. That's what Paul says. For to be fleshly, in others, you think in terms of, I'm just doing all those things. Oh, I mean, what else is there to do for salvation? The Bible is very clear. Salvation is only in Jesus Christ. You've got to give, you've got to turn away from your sin and say, all these things that I do doesn't matter. You know, I can tell the police officer, look, I'm a pastor. I help people. And the police officer said, very good, but you still speed, so I still must give you a fine. Does it make sense? We're still sinners before God. So doing all these things is not going to save us unless we repent from our sin and believe in Jesus. So that is what the flesh leads to spiritual death, as in the state of spiritual death. That's in verse 6. Verse 7, for because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God, because it is not subject to the law of God. Number two, your flesh is always fighting against God. Always, always, always fighting against God. Okay? The flesh is not subject to the law of God and cannot be because it's subject to the law of sin. That's in verse number 7. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. If you're not a Christian today, all you can do is sin. And some of you say, Pastor, I'm struggling. I hope you know why you're struggling now. It's because you're yielding to the law of sin and the flesh all the time. Okay? And then the last point, the Bible says, so that they, verse 8, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you live by the flesh, if you just follow the things of the flesh, you can't please God. So that's the flesh and the spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit of God does only right and wants us to do right and will help us to do right. The flesh only wants to do wrong all the time. The last point in 9 to 11, the glorious truth about a believer's position in Christ. Verse 9, if you are a Christian, Paul says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Listen to this, it's so important. Many people profess to be Christians, they say they are Christians, but in their life, they never show victory over sin. They never show their lives just continue on, they just do what they want, they enjoy life, they come to church, they do what is right, but when it comes to sin, they don't struggle against it. The Holy Spirit of God, if it's in you, you will struggle against sin. You will. If you have no struggle against sin, if going to a place that is wrong, it has no problems for you, you're spiritually dead. Because if you're a child of God, God's going to say, no, that's wrong. And some of you, and I believe all of you, have concerned parents that when you're doing the wrong things, the parents will say, don't do that. Why? Because there's a relationship. I care for you. You know, my neighbors, I don't know whether they're married or not. They may be cohabiting, or maybe someone else may do something else. They fight and all that kind of thing. I don't go over there and say, stop fighting, unless they're going to kill themselves or do something, you know, as a good neighbor. But you know what? If they're fighting among themselves and all that, if the way they live their lives, they smoke, they drink, I'm not going to go over there and say, hey, you better stop your drinking and all that, unless they ask for help. But you know what? If you're in my family, you're not drinking and smoking. Because you have a relationship with me, I'm going to stop you because I know it's going to hurt you. Does it make sense? Okay? And so in the same way, if you are a child of God, God's not going to allow his child to play with sin and not deal with him or her. I say again, if we belong to God, the Holy Spirit of God is not going to allow us to play with sin and not deal with us. Because the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12, whomsoever the Lord loves, he will chasten. Now, if you are without chastening, the Bible says, then you are illegitimate. If I say the word is a bad word today, it's B-A-S-T-A-R-D. In other words, you do not belong to God. You claim to belong to God, but you're not. If you are continuing in sin and God doesn't discipline you, you're not a child of God. That is what the Bible says. And that's why Paul goes on to say, you are not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. You're a spiritual man. You've been saved. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And I'll just read the last, and I'll just summarize this, and then I'll finish with the 4 points. But if the spirit of Christ that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, what does that verse mean? If we have been saved by Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit of God. And this is a very important point. Every Christian that has trusted Christ, we have the Spirit of God. Our soul and spirit has been saved. That's why the moment we die, we go straight into the presence of God. Okay? But we still have the flesh. This flesh represents our emotions that are sinful. That's why some of us are lazy to do God's work. That's why some of us will not move. Because we say, oh, really? Very inconvenient, very difficult. That's the flesh speaking. When there's a work of God to be done, when there is something that God wants us to overcome sin, and it's so difficult, that's the flesh speaking. It could be God wants us to get out of that too, so that we get out of our comfort zone. The spirit wants to do what is right, but we are still controlled by our flesh. We are still controlled by the mind that thinks, wow, if I do this, this is going to happen. Wow, cannot. I need to protect myself. That's the flesh. We are still controlled, but the Spirit of God says, go help this person. Wow, hey, I live in Woodlands. He lives in Batam, eh. You want me to go and help him? You know, sometimes it's ridiculous. Of course, we can find some ways. But if you are the only one God wants you to help, or you're the only one that God is moving in your heart to help that person, and for example, God may be calling some of you to full-time ministry, and you are saying, Lord, here am I, Lord, send someone else. That's the flesh speaking. You know why we push away spiritual responsibilities? That's the flesh. We don't want to do. Why? Because we're controlled by convenience, we're controlled by what we think, we're controlled by our own schedules. But the Holy Spirit of God wants us to do something that is right. Okay? So, in verse number 11, the Bible says that he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. The only time we will be free from this is when we die. From the time you become a Christian to the time you are free from the sin in your life is when you die. When the Bible talks about the Spirit quickening the mortal body, that means, you know, this body is going to die, right? When the Holy Spirit of God, when we die, gives us a new body, that's when we are saved. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Then I'll show you what it means there. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven," verse 20, "from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile bodies, the body of flesh, the body of sin, that he may be fashioned unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even able to subdue all things unto himself." Our flesh as a Christian will only be renewed when we see Jesus Christ. You know, that's why some of you, I'm thankful that when you sin, you feel repentant. You say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that." That's your flesh. Four truths, and I'm close. Number one, Christians, you are free. You are free from the control of law of sin. You are free. You don't have to serve sin anymore. You don't have to listen to your flesh anymore. You are free because Jesus made you free. You are free from the condemnation of sin at the final judgment, and you are free from the control of sin in your life now. That's what the Bible teaches. You are free. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior and He has done the change in your life, number one. Number two, your flesh is totally corrupted and sinful. After you become a Christian, you are set free, but you still have the indwelling sin in your life. Number three, we are spiritually alive in Christ, but we are still in this body of flesh, and we will only be free at the second coming of Christ. And point number four is the last point. In this life, in order to be victorious and be always overcoming the flesh, we need to walk in the Spirit in order to be obedient to the Word so that the righteousness of God can be fulfilled in our lives. Okay? As we close, I just want to summarize this. I know I've spoken a lot, and I hope I've explained it. I can explain all I can. Only the Holy Spirit can make it real to you. Some of us are struggling in our Christian life. The reason why you're struggling is because you, like Benjamin, you know, it's very easy in this context to say, I'll follow Brother Joshua, because it's so obvious. The challenge comes when you are in your privacy of your own room. You receive something and it tempts you to do it. But the Holy Spirit of God says, "You know it's wrong." By the way, the Holy Spirit of God is going to shout at you. He's going to prompt you in your hearts. You're not going to have a light in the sky. That's why the more you read the Word of God, the more you study it, the more you obey it, it makes you stronger. And when you hear the voice of God through the Word of God, and maybe a friend says, "Hey, we're going tomorrow to skip school so we can go in this place and still." You know, when I was young, when I was 7 years old, I had a friend. Okay, a friend, he was much older, he was in secondary school. So he'll gather all the small people, "Hey, we're going to Yao Han." How many of you remember Yao Han? Yao Han, those people, I don't know where, but Yao Han is actually a Japanese store. Now they have Daiso and all that. But, you know what he did? At that time, he gathered all. We all went to Yao Han. Last time, the bus fare was only 20 cents. Go there. Then after that, we went down and said, he took some of the batteries and he said, "Keep it." I said, "Why? Keep it." So, at that time, I knew he was stealing, but you know what? I would just kind of follow, you know, a young punk, 8 years old, you know. So I put it in my pocket, and then he went down. And then after about 5-10 minutes, I don't know, why is my pocket so hot? Because it so happens when he put the batteries into my pocket, my metal keys was there too. There was a chemical reaction. The battery started to burn inside my pocket and everything was starting to getting hot. Maybe there was God warning, "Hello, that's wrong." But I had no strength to say no to him. You know, he was the one who taught me to gamble. Okay, and he was the one who taught me to cheat. And he was the one, I just followed, you know. Until a concerned friend, I remember in block 33, third floor, in Tobayo, this guy who taught me to sin when I was here, lives here. The other friend lives here. He invited me to church. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was a sinner going to hell because of my sin. But also realized that day, the pastor said, If you will come to Jesus Christ, He's going to save you, He's going to forgive you. Put up my hand, trusted Christ. I remembered after that, I didn't mix with Him anymore. I didn't mix with Him. Didn't say I was perfect, but I realized it was wrong. At that time, I started giving up my rock music. Now, last time, you remember last time? They were in cassettes. It's very inconvenient. Today, you just press the delete button. Last time, you got to get rid of like 50 over. Just got rid of it. Why? Those music have no hold over me anymore. I don't listen to it actively. Why? Because it doesn't have any control over me. I know I want to please the Savior. I know I want to do what is right. It's not just about me. Every Christian who wants to... But you know what? I'm still struggling today. Any honest Christian who loves the Lord knows you're struggling. You know what the struggle is about? It's fresh in the spirit. But God did, that's why in Romans 6:16, let's turn there. I want to just ask us to memorize that. All of us. In order to be a victorious Christian, God's not going to enforce His will on us, but you know we are under the influence of His grace and His spirit. We are set free. In Romans 6:16, let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Know ye not that to whom ye you yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Paul is talking to Christians here. He's talking to Christians. All of us, if you don't remember anything, remember, you are like Benjamin. You were initially trapped by sin. The law of sin. The law of God tells you to do wrong or do right. You cannot do it. Until, Brother Joshua, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ came, he asked you, do you want to be free? You say yes. And Brother Joshua wrenches you from the law of sin. The law of sin doesn't go away. The law of sin is there. The law of God is there. But now there's a third law. The law of sin will keep on asking you to sin. But when you submit to the law of the Spirit of life, the law of God becomes stronger and stronger in your life. You become victorious in Christ. You know how Christians to get out of sin? So say yes to the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, it's one very interesting thing. Saying yes to the Spirit of God, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? When your heart is right with God, the evidence of walking in the Spirit is obedience to the Bible. I say again, the Holy Spirit's job is not to make Himself known. Is to make us obedient to the Scriptures. Because in the Great Commission, it is told to us, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded them. So our focus need to be, I need to fulfill the commandments of Christ, which is what the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us to do that. Okay? Some of us have tuition teachers. We don't glorify the tuition teacher. Because at the end of the day, it's your results that count, at least in this world. But you realize you have to listen to what your tuition teacher tells you, otherwise you will not pass your exam. Does it make sense? A lot of people are focusing on the tuition teacher so much, but then when they come to the exams, they fail. We need to be very careful. A lot of people, how many of you would you just keep on going tuition, but don't take your exams? That would be silly, isn't it? You know, there's a whole group of Christians who now want to focus on the tuition teacher, the Holy Spirit, but they're not willing to do what is right. No, the Lord Jesus wants us to know that we can do the right commandments of Christ. The Holy Spirit is there to help us to do the right thing. All right? Let's close in word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking you to take your word and impress it on our hearts. Lord, I believe you have spoken in some way. And I'm asking you, Lord, to do your work. Father, I can teach it, but only with the Holy Spirit, Lord, can make us understand. So, Father, I pray and commit, Lord, this invitation time to you. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, please. I just want to ask, how many of you will say, Brother Johnny, I understand now why I'm struggling. I need to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. I've not done that. I want to. I want to be obedient to God, but I need to spend time with God, that God can give me His grace and strength to overcome the law of sin in my life. I know I'm free, but I always follow it. But now I know I don't have to follow it. Is there someone who said, Pastor, pray for me that I will always make the right decision by your grace and strength to follow what you want me to do? Is there someone like that? Is there a Christian who says, Pastor, pray for me that God will strengthen me always to obey the righteousness that God wants me to obey? Is there someone like that? Amen. I see that hand. It says, Amen. I see those hands. Amen. I see that hand too. Anyone? Amen. I see that hand. You know, at the end of the day, God's not going to take the free will away from you. But you've got to depend on Him. You've got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God as He prompts you in your heart. That is why God gave us a special Holy Spirit who is our tutor to teach us the right things in our hearts. But you know, the tutor can only give you tuition. He can't help you to do the right thing. Is there someone else? Lord, help me to listen to your word and the prompting of your spirit to do the right thing. Is there someone else? All right? If you're here today for the very first time, maybe you've never heard that Jesus loves you so much and you never realized, hey, I was following a wrong system for my salvation. If Jesus loves me so much and is willing to die for me and rise again, I'm willing to put my faith. Is there someone like that? And say, Pastor, did Jesus really love me so much to die for me? We're not going to force you to do anything. We just want to show you from the Bible that Jesus loves you, died for you, rose again, so that you can have eternal life too. Is there someone? Say, Pastor, pray for me. Now, if you put up your hand, I'm just going to get someone to share with you from the Bible, and then for you to make that decision. No one's going to force you. Is there someone like that? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for the brethren that put up their hands. Oh, Lord, help them continuously to submit to the Spirit of life in Christ. Lord, we are free from the law of sin as a believer in Christ. Father, we don't have to follow the wrong things again. Lord, many believers in Christ, I believe, truly want to do right. Lord, help them. They have your spirit. Lord, I pray they'll cry out to you for help. Lord, you're ever ready to help, Lord. And so I pray that every believer in Christ, Lord, will hear your word and obey it. Lord, because it helps us to grow in dependency. Lord, we may not see the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but we do know that we are yours. And we pray for these brothers who put up their hands, help them to have victory from now on, to continuously submit to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, and to say no to the law of sin. When the law of sin comes in and say, why don't you do this? To say, no, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow His word. I'm going to follow what Jesus tells me. Thank you for what you're going to do. As we close, we pray. We bless our fellowship and also the men's discipleship later. And I pray, Lord, that you make us not only a growing church, but a victorious church. Personally in our lives with you and corporately as a church. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.